Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Vedant Fashions Limited Q4 FY 2022 and FY 2022 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manoj Menon from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hi, everyone. Depending on the part of the world you are joining the call from, a wonderful good morning, good afternoon, or a good evening to you. Representing ICICI Securities, it's our absolute pleasure to host the management of Vedant Fashions Limited today, you know, for the conference call. The company is represented by Mr. Vedant Modi, Chief Marketing Officer, and Mr. Rahul Murarka, Chief Financial Officer. During times like these when discretionary performance has definitely outperformed, I would say, FMCG or consumer staples, the results what we saw from Manyavar, in our opinion, has, you know, met, you know, or definitely beaten the consensus expectations. We were privileged to be part of the Manyavar IPO a few months back. Now over to the management for the opening remarks, and the Q&A after that. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon and a warm welcome to all the participants. I'm Vedant Modi, the Chief Marketing Officer of the company. Thank you for joining us today to discuss the Vedant Fashions Limited quarter four and financial year 2022 results. I am joined by Mr. Rahul Murarka, the Chief Financial Officer of Vedant Fashions. I hope everyone got an opportunity to go through our financial results and investor presentation, which have been uploaded on the stock exchange as well as the company's website. Vedant Fashions Limited is India's largest celebration wear company, with Manyavar being a category creator and leader in the branded Indian wedding and celebration wear market for men. We have multiple brands in our portfolio, such as Manyavar, Mohey, Twamev, Manthan, and Mebaz, which are positioned to target customers across different demographic segments. Our pan-India 595 exclusive brand outlets are dominant channel for the company. Despite the third wave of COVID, which had affected the first half of quarter four, we are proud to announce that we had a good quarter in terms of strong retail sales coupled with decent growth. We as a company have emerged stronger out of COVID. Performance of the fiscal year has been very encouraging. In quarter four, we have opened net square feet area of around 57,000 sq ft and 17 exclusive brand outlets. As of March 2022, these additions bring the tally of VFL's EBO area up at 1.27 million sq ft globally, spanning across 595 stores in 223 cities and towns nationwide. In addition to the network expansion, I would like to highlight few of our marketing and branding campaigns with mega stars like Shri Amitabh Bachchan and youth icon Mrs. Alia Bhatt during the quarter. The Taiyaar Hokar Aaiye campaign featured Mr. Amitabh Bachchan and was aimed at increasing brand salience and drive a behavioral change. The campaign has tried to capture the soul of an Indian wedding and position Manyavar as the preferred brand for wedding occasions. On the other hand, to improve brand recognition of Mohey, we created the campaign Dulhan Wali Feeling, featuring Mrs. Alia Bhatt. This campaign was targeted to connect with the women of today, one who is independent yet has close ties to the Indian culture. The campaign highlights the range of emotions which a bride goes through various times in her wedding journey. On a branded level, we can say that the fundamentals of the business have been sound, robust, and encompassing. During the first 40 days of this financial year, we are seeing robust performance in our store network. This will be the first quarter after two financial years in which the restriction on number of wedding attendees have been lifted. Considering this, we expect good market traction and promising outlook for the new financial year. With this, I would now hand over to Mr. Rahul Murarka, our Chief Financial Officer, to take you through the financial performance of the company for the fourth quarter and the year under review. Thank you.
Thank you, Vedant. Namaskar and good evening, everyone. I would like to highlight the key financial performance for the fourth quarter and financial year ended March 31, 2022, based upon the consolidated financial statements of the company. Despite our COVID impact year, the company has reported strong financial revenue and return during FY 2022. Starting from FY 2022 update, the company reported revenue from operation of 1,041 crore during FY 2022, delivering a very strong growth of 84.3% compared to FY 2021. The company continued to report industry-leading gross margins of around 67% during FY 2022. The EBITDA margins were around 50% and the EBITDA stood at around 521 crores during FY22 with a growth of around 85% compared to FY21. The reported PBT during FY22 is 423 crores, which has significantly increased by 132.5% compared to FY21. The company reported best-in-class tax margin of 30% and profit after tax stood at 315 crores during FY22 with a significant growth of 137% compared to FY21. The company also has reported industry-leading ROC of 75% during FY22. Now coming to Q4 performance update. During Q4 of FY22, company has reported revenue from operation of 296 crore, delivering a very strong growth of around 55% over Q4 of FY21. The EBITDA margins were around 50% and the EBITDA stood at 147 crore for Q4 of FY22 as against 91 crore in Q4 of FY21 with a growth of around 62%. The company reported PAT margin of around 30% and the profit after tax stood at around 89 crore for Q4 of FY22 with a growth of 86% over Q4 of FY21. The net EBO store area which was added in Q4 was 57,000 square feet with total presence of 1.27 million square feet as on 31st March 2022. Sale of our customers were around 1,474 crore during financial year 22 and grew by 76% compared to FY21 with SSG growth of around 65%. The sale of our customer during Q4 of FY22 was 398 crore with growth of around 45% compared to Q4 of FY21 with SSG growth of around 33%. We are very happy to share that the board of directors of the company at its meeting held on 9th of May 2022 have recommended final dividend of Rs. 5 per equity share, which is approximately 40% of PAT of the standalone financial statement. With this, I would like to thank everyone and we can now move to the Q&A session.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may enter star and 1. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take our first question from the line of Percy Panthaki from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. My first question is on the women's wear segment. So with Manyavar, we've become a clear market leader in the men's wear segment for wedding and celebration wear. But the women's wear segment is significantly larger overall, including unorganized, etc., in this space. What really do we need to do to replicate the success of Manyavar in the women's wear segment as well? And what are the differences in the challenges or the differences in the key success factors between the men's and the women's wear?
Thank you for your question, Percy. So we launched the brand Mohe in early 2016. And ever since then, when we launched with all women ethnic wear categories. And we understood that our nucleus would be lehengas and saris for the brand. We were testing out different categories and we are a very bottom line focused company and efficiency is in the backbone of the way we work. So the brand has been EBITDA positive ever since we started. And there have been multiple sort of workings that we did at a category level. When we understood that lehengas and saris will be the nucleus, we launched our independent marketing campaigns in 2019 and ever since then we saw a very good growth in the brand with Alia Bhatt as the face of the same. Talking about sort of differences and challenges, I mean the overall core learning that we've had is that we need to focus on a few categories, get them right, make that a proper category to work on and then move on to creating newer categories in the brand. And I think all the underlying fundamentals of the brand in terms of inventory management to the kind of conversion rates we see at the store level have all been very promising. And that is why moving on, this the new financial year, we've also decided to open about 6 to 7 exclusive brand outlet doors followed by the first EBO which we had opened in the new market area of Kolkata for Mohey.
So, Vedant, I understand that Mohey products are not available in all your 595 stores. They are available only in a fraction of that. So, what's the thought process behind that, and why not just make at least the product available in all the stores so that whenever there is a couple walk-in, etc., you can try and do the cross-sell there?
Percy, so the idea is that we open Mohey in every flagship store which we open for Manyavar. Otherwise, if you're opening a Mohey in any store which is less than 3,000 square feet, we won't be doing justice to the brand. Neither would there be enough space for the brand to operate in. So in order to justify the space required for Mohey, it's, the whole strategy is to open it in flagship stores which tend to be more than 3,000 square feet of retail space. Currently, Mohey is available in across 99 doors of our Manyavar flagship stores.
And how do you expect this number to trend? Let's say 3 years down the line, this 99 would become what kind of number approximately?
I'm sorry, I won't be able to give you any guidance on that. But like we've been mentioning before, the overall strategy in terms of new retail expansion is to drive growth through more flagship stores. So you can expect a larger percentage of our fleet to have Mohey as we grow and move into the future.
Right. My second question is on the town opportunity for Manyavar. You're present in about 220 odd towns. Over the next 5 years or so, how many towns do you think sort of there is a scope for you to open a Manyavar store? So how many can you go from 220? Can you go to 400, 500? What's that number? And how do you determine that number? Do you sort of have at the back of your mind some kind of metric saying that any town with a 2 lakh or a 3 lakh population plus can accommodate a Manyavar store?
Yeah, so there's an overall logic. So we've come out with about 120 to 150 cities in India that we want to open our new stores in, where we are currently not present. And there's a logic behind that. In some cases, the logic is a certain set of population. In some other places, the logic is the catchment of that particular tier 3 city based on the kind of markets it has in the whole catchment of that region. So that is how we've come up with that whole sort of calculation of about 120 to 150 towns that we want to enter in as part of our growth strategy of taking the overall retail footprint to 2.2 million square feet.
Right. And last question from my side, once the COVID base normalizes on a continuous sustainable basis, what's the kind of same store sales growth do you think you can clock?
We would not like to give any guidance on that, but internally as a company, we aim to achieve a good single digit triple SG growth in a sustainable future. That is what we aim to achieve as a company internally.
Okay. That's all from me. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Nihal Jham from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much and congratulations Vedant and Rahul on the strong performance. Two questions from our side. Rahul, first to you, if I look at the conversion from primary to secondary sales, I do notice that there is a divergence whether it is from Q3 quarter or versus say the similar quarter of last year. You did highlight that obviously there was some placement which had happened at the end of Q3, but if you could just highlight anything specific this quarter and how to look at this number going forward. I'll come to the second question after this.
Right. So typically in our case, we are continuously reviewing and monitoring our secondary and primary sale, and all our replenishment happens based upon the sale to our customer from our exclusive brand outlets. So both the primary and secondary sales and replenishment move in the same direction. However, the difference you will find is because of the new store openings. So that is where, you know, you'll see it maybe some higher percentage from a financial perspective in terms of primary sales growth over secondary revenue growth. So that is one reason, new stores opening, where you can see the difference. But otherwise, it moves in the similar direction. It is more or less similar on a financial year basis.
Just to confirm, was there any impact of, say, the closing inventory last quarter or the Omicron impact in Jan, which could have impacted this number, or that wouldn't be a consideration by the end of the quarter?
So typically, Jan is one of very good months for us because there are a lot of weddings in Jan and Feb. So frankly speaking, yes, because of Omicron, we were expecting higher revenue in Jan and Feb. But despite of that, we have been able to have a very strong Q4 quarter, I would say. So yes, you know, without Omicron, we would have had a better Q4 result for sure.
Sure. The other question was, one of the key initiatives that we are trying, other than the women's expansion of Mohey, is the fact that we are trying to increase the share of wedding attendees, obviously, which end up shopping for the brand Manyavar. So based on maybe the data of SKU pricing that you have, do you have a sense of how that has been picking up, and if there is a approximate share of that, how it has moved over the years?
Yes, absolutely. So the tricky part with the whole Taiyar Hokar Aaiye campaign, which was to drive a behavioral change in Indian men to dress up for the wedding. Whereas when we did our research, we found that about 90-95% of the women dress up according to an occasion. However, only 5% of the men dress up according to an occasion for the wedding. So this was the basis of starting the Taiyar Hokar Aaiye campaign, to drive more men to dress up in Indian wear. But the catch was that we only launched this campaign in 2019 and we were hit by COVID right after in 2020. So the last 2 years were extremely disrupted. However, when we look at the new financial year trends in April, the performance of the wedding attendees coming back to the stores are extremely encouraging, and I would be happier to share these numbers in our next quarter earnings call about how the whole Taiyar Hokar Aaiye campaign is kind of phasing out for the wedding attendees.
Sure, I'll wait for that. Just one last thing, Vedant. You had shared the two-year SSG last time, not if it's possible to share that, and I'll be done.
So, are you looking at the quarter four FY22 versus quarter four FY20?
Yes, and if it's possible from Q4 19, if it's handy with you.
So, sharing Q4 FY22 versus Q4 FY20, it's at 1.6% triple SG growth, despite half of Q4 FY22 going away in COVID, when January and Feb actually seemed to be the best wedding shopping season, which was quite heavily disrupted due to COVID. So we saw 1.6% growth still in terms of triple SG compared to pre-COVID levels.
Sure, Vedant, helps you. Thank you so much, and I wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Gaurav Jogani from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on the good set of numbers. My first question, you know, is with regards to if you can share the consumer level sales for your brands of Manyavar, Mohey and the other brands for the year FY22. And also along with it, the contribution from the EBO stores for FY22.
So the contribution from EBO store is around 90%, as it has been there historically also, on overall customer revenue. As far as brand wise details are concerned, you know, all our brands like Mohey, Tromey, Manthan, they are all new brands. And all of the brands are doing very well. Strategically, you know, we are not disclosing the brand-wide details during calls and discussion. And we are happy to do that once we strategically decide to, you know, share those numbers once we achieve a particular size.
Rauji, just for, if you can share it from Manyavar, you know, which is a big brand for you. I mean, you have shared that in the DRHP also. So if you can just share for that, it will be helpful.
On the Manyavar, you are saying?
Yeah, Manyavar consumer level sales for FY22, if you can share that.
The total was, as I was mentioning over my discussion, it was 14,736 million. That was a company total. And it grew by 76% the sale of customers compared to FY21.
Okay, sure.
And I would like to I would request Vedant to also add upon.
Hey Gaurav, so in terms of different brands, as Rahulji was mentioning, all of the brands' underlying fundamentals have been performing really well. With Mohey, we've been seeing good traction. In terms of Tromey, because of the aspirational consumers that were already walking into our premium stores, we've seen very good growth. And all these the brands such as Mohey and Tromey are ready for the next level of growth. With Mohey, we will be opening the 6-7 exclusive brand outlets. Similarly, for Tromey, we will also be opening the 5-6 exclusive brand outlets in the upcoming financial year. As far as the brand-wise numbers are concerned, we would be happy to share them once they've sort of scaled up to a number where we strategically feel it's fair to start giving out the numbers of those brands individually. Internally, we track them very heavily, and they've all been performing well.
Sure, sure. Maybe then my next question, you know, is with regards to the gross profit margins, that is the X of if you take, you know, the job work charges. I mean, they have seen a healthy expansion. If I compare it with the FY19 levels of around, say, FY19, it was around 65% odd, and now it is around 67%. So how much of this, you know, is sustainable going ahead, or is it because of, you know, this some advantage due to the Omicron, or due to this particular year, and how much of it is sustainable?
Gaurav, we've always see efficiencies is the core of this company. So there have been a lot of work that we've been doing on our inventory replenishment algorithm in order to further optimize our inventory, lower our dead stock levels. There has been further work going on into our demand generation program in order to calculate demand even more better. So it's a result of efficiency. We've seen very good gross margin levels of about 66-67% in the last 2 years. And we would like to believe that we would be on a similar path moving forward as well.
Sure. And just one last question for the with regards to the quarter. So, I mean, if I see the other expenditure, you know, X of the job work charges, they have hardly grown, you know, by around 3 crores if I compare from Q4 FY21 to Q4 FY22. So if you can highlight, you know, what have been the key saving areas here, and that would be from.
So the other cost, if we exclude the lease cost, other than the job charges you were mentioning,
Yes, less of the job charges.
Right. So if we accumulate that, more or less it has grown by around, I would say, 2 crore hardly. That's the increase Q4 22 versus Q4 21. Right. It is majorly because of increase in revenue, because of freight expenses, commission expenses, all those expenses which are linked with revenue. Generally, it increases as the revenue increases. So you can see that our Q4 revenue compared to last year, it has increased by 55%. So as a result, a couple of those other costs have also increased, like freight expenses, commission expenses.
Rahul, actually what I was asking was, you know, there is hardly any increase of in the other expenditure, right? So the job charges. If you see the, as you mentioned, it is, you know, increased only 2 to 3 crores. So, I mean, which have been the key saving areas for you here?
So, look, we are working on a variable model. If you will see, our manufacturing process also is largely outsourced, right? And a lot of our other processes are outsourced. So, basically, other than that, we are left with very few fixed overhead costs. And that is the main reason, you know, when we compare. And there's a lot of cost efficiency which we always work upon a continuous basis, because improving cost efficiency has been the DNA of the company over the years, right? So from that prospect, if you will see that we have been able to control our fixed overhead costs, and that is the reason you see, you know, very minimal growth in other costs compared to past quarter.
Sure. Thank you for answering my question.
Yeah. Thank you.
A reminder to our participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may enter star and one. Our next question is from the line of Devanshu Bansal from MK Global Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Sir, congratulations on a very good performance in Q4 as well as in FY22. I just wanted to understand, we have done about 1500 crore of customer level sales in FY22. This is despite Q1 and Q4 being impacted due to lockdown. So just wanted to understand, is there an element of demand deferred during the year into FY23 as well? Or FY22 is a good normal base to base our projections on?
Hey, so that's a good question. It's a little difficult to answer on an overall level, but what we feel is that a lot of the demand that was deferred in Q1 was actually taken care in the other three quarters of the overall financial year level. However, we still saw that a lot of the wedding attendees were not entering the stores because there were still COVID-related restrictions. And overall, the last 8 quarters were disrupted somehow or the other. The first quarter, which is the ongoing quarter, is the first one we are seeing after 2 years where there are almost no restrictions in terms of COVID, with all the wedding attendees returning back to our stores. So that will, of course, be a good lever of growth for us as we move on to the next financial year. In terms of the wedding numbers, it's difficult to comment, but we believe that a lot of the pent-up demand was taken care in the year itself. However, there would definitely be some of the other weddings that were postponed to this financial year.
Sure, thanks. That's helpful. Secondly, I wanted to understand, we have added about 15% sort of retail space in FY22. What is our target for FY23? And you guys have mentioned that you have a target of doubling the retail space. So by when do we plan to double this?
Yeah, so in terms of our historical trends, we've been growing at a CAGR of about 16-odd% in terms of increasing our retail footprint. So as a company, our internal aims are to achieve similar levels. Wherever there's an opportunity, we will seize on it. There's definitely no restrictions on the kind of growth we can achieve with footprint, and that is how we operate. In terms of any guidance, we would not like to give any particular number of growth for the coming years. We will continue to do what is right in terms for our business and grow in that particular direction. When I talk at a strategic level, there are three strategies that we follow for growing our retail footprint. The first one is entering the new 130, 150 odd cities, which we just spoke about. The second strategy is to enter in the new markets in our existing cities where we are currently not present. And our third strategy, which is the innovative strategy, which is true for Manyavar, is that there are certain key markets in India where there is room to further increase our market penetration. Take, for example, markets like Commercial Street in Bangalore, in Park Street, in New Market areas in Kolkata, where we had about one store to start with in 2009. Now we're at about four stores in those markets. So we continuously expand in those regions and increase our market share. So those are the three strategies we'll be following, and we are very confident of sort of delivering similar numbers as we have.
Sure, sir. That's really helpful. Lastly, I wanted to understand from the working capital point of view, our inventory receivable payable days have sort of reverted back to the pre-COVID sort of level. But there is an increase in the other liabilities by about 50 crore. So what is the reason for that?
In terms of numbers, are you saying 50 crores increase in liability?
Yes, it's in two line items, other current liabilities and other liabilities.
Okay, so there are two things which are coming in that other current liabilities. One is the refund liability, which is a provision which we make for our sales return. So that has increased by 10 crores around. So we make a provision for sales return every year and every quarter. So that has increased with our increase in revenue. Apart from that, we also have received advance from our customers. For one of our, we had one land which is appearing in capital advance, for which we are into a joint JD contract, joint development agreement with one of the developers. And we have received 10 crores of money in relation to that capital advance. So these are the two components because of which it has increased by around 20 crores.
So what do we expect for these items going ahead, sir? So these should also sort of grow with sales. How should we sort of project these line items?
So, and apart from that, there were other liabilities also which we were mentioning under financial liability. That has also grown because of secure deposits. So that's around 12 crores again. Now, whenever we open a new store, we receive secure deposits. So as we grow, as our business grows, as we open new store, franchisee-led stores, the security deposit amount is going to grow in future. It is going to increase in future. So that is an increasing trend which we will see. In terms of advance from customers, which I mentioned, that is a one-time, it was a one-time project and a one-time contract which we are having with the PS developer. So we don't expect, of course, there would be some inflow of money this year also. But from a future prospect, we don't expect any further advance amount coming in this respect. As far as refund liability is concerned, which is provision for sales return, so that we are doing based upon historical trend of 8.2%. And that will also increase as we increase in our sales volume, because that is a provision which we are making on a conservative basis. So it will increase with growth in business volume also, these two liabilities. One is security deposit and another is our refund liability.
Sure. Lastly, one bookkeeping question. So in the PPT, we have mentioned that in India, we have about 583 stores. So this 595 EBOs, this is globally or is this is in India?
The remaining 12 stores are in our global countries. So we have about 6 stores in US and the remaining in UAE. We are also about to open our store in Southall in London this year in the current quarter, and also we will be opening a store in Chicago, US this quarter.
And this includes 77 shopping shops as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the retail area that you provide, it's only for EBOs ex of shopping shops.
It includes shopping shop also. The 1.27 million square foot includes shopping shop also.
Okay. Thanks. That's it.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Shivam Saxena from ICICI Bank. Please go ahead.
I just wanted to know, have you taken any price hikes to combat the increasing cotton yarn prices, that my raw material cost, what I would say, and how much has been the price hikes to protect the market?
We have not done any price hikes. As a company, we like to not increase the prices of any particular products. What we do as a continuous ongoing trend is to shift our product category mix. For example, if majority of our kurta offerings lies in the 2,000 to 3,000 range, we slowly start increasing our offerings in the 3,000 to 4,000 range. So coming to your question for price, when we compare quarter 4 financial year 22 versus quarter 4 financial year 21, we saw a ASP growth of about 4.8%, and this was again primarily due to the shift in categories in the category mix of different product categories. Also, as a company, we work on what is known as perceived value. So we continuously focus on certain key products where if we are able to earn extra margin compared to others, and those allowed us to offset the 10 to 12% sort of fabric cost increase that happened over the last two quarters. And even in terms of the increasing costs, when you look at our company and the nature of our product, fabric only makes up 10% of the MRP component of our product. So when we look at the price hike on an MRP level, it was only about 1 to 1.2% on an MRP level. So it was easy for us to, relatively easy for us to overcome.
So basically you are saying if the fabric price increases by 10%, then it impacts your price only by 1%, right? As it is
correct.
A 10%, right?
Correct.
Okay.
We don't increase that 1% of all products. However, we play smart with different product categories by changing the mix. And some products where the perceived value is very high, we make up for those margins in those certain products.
Mm-hmm. But how do you see going forward these prices, fabric prices? Going forward, increase, stabilize, or what do you do?
Sir, it would be difficult to comment on the pricing of fabric. It is something difficult for us to answer.
Okay. So you will be playing with the same strategy, you are saying, like you will be shifting to higher
cost. Yes, relatively, the overall idea is that our cost of goods sold, the major component is from the business of value addition. There is a lot of handwork that goes into our products in terms of stitching and embroidery, which is what forms the major cost of goods sold. And given the sort of long-lasting relationship we have with our vendors, those costs have been relatively stable. The major price hike has been in the 10% fabric cost, which is anyways relatively a lot lower compared to other apparel manufacturers or retail brands.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Ankit Kedia from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
So three questions from my side. First is on the store size. Now, this quarter we have seen more than 3,000 odd square feet size each store, and our average store size including shopping shop is around 2,200. So going forward, are we opening more flagship stores, and will the store size be at 3,000 odd levels incrementally?
So sir, the overall strategy of the company is that we want a higher share of our business to come from flagship stores as we move forward. So that will definitely be the case, that we will be opening more flagship stores, larger flagship stores as we move forward. But when you ask about, let's say, the median of a store, it would be difficult to comment on. As we also continue to expand into tier 3 cities, we opened a store in a tier 2 city, Thiruvananthapuram, also this year, and entered that market. So the amount of stores that we increase, it will consist of both relatively smaller stores and also the flagship and super flagship stores. So it will be a mix of all, but given today's averages, there will be a higher share of flagship and super flagship as we move forward.
Sure. My second question is on your receivable days. Can you just, you know, share how does the receivable work with the franchisee? So when you a new store is opened, do you take upfront revenue from the franchisee, or he's given 90 days period, till the time sales happen, and then after that 30 days to recover the money? Can you just throw some light on how the flow happens with the franchisee owner?
Sure. So when we open a new store, we take upfront security deposits from the franchisee. So that is based upon our internal policies. So that takes care of our working capital cost also on the very first day. And then accordingly the replenishment happens, which is happening on a regular basis. We have an auto replenishment mechanism also. And on a weekly basis, we have a collection model that the product which gets sold, we are recovering money from there. So that is the overall recovery and collection model which we follow.
And adding on, just in terms of what you were asking, yes, when we open a new store, we book revenue on day one itself of whatever materials we send to the store.
So the receivable days which fee in the system are 140 odd days. So, you know, if it's a weekly collection, where does this 140 day receivables come from then?
So in terms of receivable days, the manner in which we track and monitor is as follows. I would like to explain it a bit. If you see our balance sheet, you'll find a receivable amount, trade receivable amount. The way we monitor is we are seeing a receivable days of 53 days as on FY22 on revenue. And how we compute it, maybe I'll explain for a minute. We, as I mentioned, that we take upfront secure deposit on the day one. So that is something which is grouped under secure deposit, under liabilities, as far as financial statements are concerned. Right? We are also making provision for sales return against our data based upon our historical trend. Now, if we net out these two amounts with my receivable amount, then the receivable days, net receivable days, comes to 53 days on my revenue. So that is the right, that is the appropriate manner in which we track internally and monitor the sales.
Sure. But if we get a security deposit, is the inventory given to the franchisee for 4 months, apart from security deposit, do we not take money from them for those 4 months, for those 120 days?
So let me just explain the way the whole statement works from a business perspective. We take an upfront security deposit from the franchisee when we open a store, which covers well more than the cost of goods we send to them. Now we book our revenue as a company when those products are shipped to the store and reach the store, and the franchisee pays us twice every week as in when the product is actually sold to the consumer on the ground level.
Sure. But if I look at last year's bank guarantee and security deposits, FY22 data I don't have. I have the FY21 data. Around 53 days of security deposit is there on our books as on FY21. And even if I take the absolute amount of receivable days, it comes to 180, and if I adjust for that, it is still 130 odd days. So if we cover for the inventory which is paid, why are the receivable days so high?
So on that, first of all, the amount of deposit which is appearing in the financial statement, it is lower than the gross deposit. So I'll just give you some example. Like as on 31st March 2022, our actual gross deposit received is crore around. But in the financial statement, there's a discounting which is done because of Ind AS adjustment. And as a result, the liability which is booked in the financial statement is around 120, 125 crore. Right? But the actual deposit is 160 crore. Now, if I net out these deposits with my receivable amount which is appearing, and if I reduce the refund liability which is also appearing, then you will come to, you'll arrive at a number which is 53 net receivable days on revenue. And in FY21, yes, because of COVID, the receivable, the movements were impacted. So in FY21, the receivable days were higher, much higher compared to FY22, I would say.
Sure, I'll take that separately again with you, sir. Second question is regarding your A&P spend.
Mr. Kedia, may we request you to please return to the queue? There are several participants waiting for their turn.
Sure, ma'am.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we would request you to please limit your questions to two per participant so that all participants may get equal opportunity to ask questions. We'll take a next question from the line of Yajash Mehta from Kotak Mahindra Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations on a good set of numbers. I have two questions. The first one being, my apologies if I missed out. What would be the total revenue contribution from the brand Manyavar for Q4 as well as FY22? And the second question being, if you could just throw some color on the EBITDA margins of the other brands, as in, I mean, as per your comfort, if they are above the average or below.
Sure, sir. So as a company, like I've mentioned before, we are not declaring the numbers separately for all the brands. We are doing it at a company level. Brands apart from Manyavar are at a smaller scale currently, and it's a strategic call to not talk about those numbers current at this given moment. Once Mohey scales to a certain level, then we will be sort of sharing those numbers independently. However, the underlying fundamentals of the brand have been doing really well, and all the growth levers are working to our advantage currently. Talking about the margins in the newer brands, they are lower than Manyavar currently. However, the overall idea is that as the brands scale up, we will be able to get their margins similar to the current company average, as in when the economies of scale kind of kick in for those newer brands as well.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Amit from Stallion Asset. Please go ahead.
Hi, Vedant. Vedant, my question is about Mohey scale up. You said that you'll be opening 6-7 stores this year, right? That is a bigger market than the men's category. That is more unorganized. Why has our scale up been so not been very aggressive? Just trying to understand what is the thinking behind this.
Sir, I think the overall idea is that we are an extremely bottom-line focused company, along with a lot of sort of focus on the efficiency that we are able to give to our franchisees. So we take all elements of growth in a very sort of conservative manner, where we are able to also work on bottom line. And it's a calibrated approach that we've sort of decided to take. Whereas we feel that we've cracked the overall lehenga market, we've understood the overall nature. This year onwards, we are very confident about the sari market as well, which we've understood in terms of the wedding and celebration wear market. And slowly, we are also trying out different product categories. So the markets we are comfortable in sort of piloting with the new exclusive brand outlets, we will be entering those. However, in terms of the kind of fast scale-up that you're requesting for, we will definitely get there in the next few quarters. And we are very excited for the same.
So Vedant, what are the factors that will make you scale up? Like, what will you say that if I achieve this, this is the point where I start scaling up Mohey to like 500 stores as well?
The major sort of number that we are chasing as a company with Mohey is that once the exclusive brand outlets sort of reaching 10,000 plus sort of productivity numbers is what our aim is to reach internally. That would be one factor in terms of going towards aggressive growth for the brand.
Sorry, I missed that point. What you said, 10,000?
10,000 rupees per square feet as an exclusive brand outlet of Mohey.
Got it. Thank you, Vedant. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Nikunj Gala from Sundaram Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. I just need clarification on the, you know, the new store opening where you mentioned you book the revenue on day one. Sorry to hop on this question. So on the day one, assuming 100 rupee MRP product, you sell it to the new store. So the entire 61 rupees or 71 rupees, depending upon the lease, you know, you have, you book on the day one, that entire 61 or 71 as a revenue?
Yeah, that's right. So whatever margin which we give to the franchisee is reduced from the MRP cost.
Yeah,
based upon the replenishment which happens on the day one to the franchisee. That replenishment value minus the franchisee margin.
And against which he has only given you 33 or 35 rupees of, you know, COGS at the inventory at the cost as a security deposit, right? So the remaining amount would sit as a receivables in your book, right?
So the remaining amount, so look, it's not about the, so 100 rupees is the MRP. Okay.
Right.
We have two models of franchisee margin model.
Right. Yeah.
One is 18%, another is 29.5%.
Right.
And then there's a GST component also.
10%
margin. If we consider 35% margin, okay.
Yeah.
So on the day one, on replenishment of 100 rupees MRP of product, our revenue from operation is booked at 65 rupees.
Right, right.
And our receivable is also booked at 65 rupees. And whatever deposit which we receive, which is dependent upon our internal policy and mechanism,
that
is appearing in my liability.
Yeah. So he must have given, say, 35 rupees. So the net amount is the, you know, receivables, right, in that case?
Yeah. So if you monitor the receivable, I'll
net
out the deposit which I receive.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So, and what percentage of your, if I, you know, ask, square feet would be the stores where you, the Vedant Fashion would be bearing rent?
So, 60% of our revenue comes from stores where we bear rent. And this is a very strategic call that we take on a store-to-store basis. So, these are the prime real estate properties of India that we want to have control on as a company.
So 50% of square feet you mentioned?
60%.
So it's more skewed towards, you know, the 71 take rate, if I just take from the retail sales perspective. So it's, so ideally it should be 61 in the case where, you know, they must be bearing rent, net sales to retail sales I'm asking. And in the case where you must be bearing rent, it's 71%, right? So ideally in 60%, it's more to skew towards, you know, 66, 67, but for the year FY22, we are looking at 70% net sales to retail sales ratio. So this is on account of the new store which you have added. So that's, that
absolutely,
understanding is correct,
absolutely,
right?
So yes, exactly.
Okay, got it. And just lastly, out of 595 EBOs which you have mentioned in the presentation, how much would be shop in shop in this out of 595?
77 stores are shop and shops out of these.
Okay, sure. And lastly, if I can, you know, squeeze in, the incremental square feet in tier 2 or tier 3 or, you know, the incremental number of towns you want to enter, the according to your experience, the what kind of a model you are, you know, having, whether, you know, the franchise is ready to bear the rent or you want to bear the rent in that case?
In tier 3, as a trend, it's mostly the franchisee that bears the rent.
Okay.
And that is the sort of model we follow for tier 3 cities generally. But again, this call is taken on a strategic level based on the store rather than holistically for any tier or on a company level.
Okay, sure. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for the clarification. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Divya Balakrishnan from Wellington Management Singapore. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I was really surprised that you mentioned we don't expect margins of the newer brands to exceed the company average. It would seem like we should have a much higher pricing power once we go closer to the women's wear and the bridal market. So is there something I'm missing over there, or are we just probably trying to be very conservative at this point? Thanks.
So, ma'am, I think the overall idea is that we're trying to take realistic targets, and the overall idea is that as these brands scale up and we improve our inventory replenishment systems for each of these brands, along with setting up a stronger supply chain that is more efficient in terms of producing these outfits for those particular brands, we are confident of scaling up to those levels. However, when we look at a longer term trend, I think it is something we will be able to comment on later down the line, what we're feeling about those particular margins for the newer brands, as in when they actually do scale up to the current company average.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Jay Shah from OHM Portfolio Equity Research. Please go ahead.
Hi. Am I audible?
Yes.
Hi. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. My first question is on the SG&A. I believe that you have an outsourcing model, but basically you're promoting brands. So the biggest component should be SG&A, given your celebrity advertisements, IPL team and seminars. So could you just tell us as to how do you look at this expenditure and how can we project this expenditure going into future? Is this related to a percentage of sales? Is it absolute amount with certain inflation, or how does it work?
In terms of A&P, our outlook moving forward would be at a range of about 5 to 6% for the new financial year, which is the sort of number we are expecting based on the kind of efficiencies we've built over COVID. So I think COVID was a great boost in terms of moving towards digital, understanding how can we more efficiently target our consumers on the digital channel. And we are able to now understand that whole platform and reach our grooms and brides in a much more efficient manner. So that will help us bring down the 7.6% number in financial year 20 to the 5 to 6% number moving on into financial year 23.
I see. Given that you're looking to promote more women brands, won't we see the spend going up in the short term?
Not based on what we've planned, sir. So for the current upcoming financial year, the 5 to 6% is the sort of number that we have in mind in terms of A&P.
Thank you. That's very useful. My franchisee model, generally, what kind of money do the franchisees make and how has been your experience with the franchisees since you work basically with most of them? And what are the key parameters? Is this linked to their ROIs or how does it work?
Sure. So we have two models in terms of franchisee. The first one is the 18% model. In this model, the franchisee is responsible for making a very beautiful store that has a capex of about 2,000 to 2,500 rupees per square feet depending on the tier of the city. And they also bear all the operational costs of this store apart from the lease cost. In the 29.5% model, the company bears, in the 29.5% model, the franchisee also bears the lease cost. So these are the two sort of models which we operate in. The kind of payback periods we've seen at a franchisee level on average is about 3 to 3.5 years. So they've been making very good money with us and they are extremely happy. As a company, we've been extremely stakeholder-friendly and stakeholder growth is one of our most important parameters. 77% of our franchisees have also operated with us for more than 3 years now, which is kind of a testament to these numbers. And we continue to expand with our current partners itself in the existing cities who have a good franchisee scorecard.
Right. And how's generally been the churn in the franchisees? How many would you have, terminated agreements till now?
Historically, almost no franchisee has left us out of their own will. However, when franchisees fall below a certain metric in our franchisee scorecard, they are put on a training plan where we try to improve them operationally. However, even after trying for about 2 quarters, they are still not able to scale up. Then we have churned out a few franchisees from the system, which number would again be extremely small in the less than 2%, 3% range, less than that sort of a range.
Thank you. That's awesome. And best wishes.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vinod Malviya from Union Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. I joined the call late. So can you explain the reason for dip in your gross margin when we look at it on a YOY basis?
So the gross margins have been 67% around for FY22. And last year also...
For the fourth quarter compared to the last year same quarter.
So for the Q4 FY22, the gross margin was 66.4%.
Yeah, it was 67.4% in the base quarter, so there's 1 percentage point decline.
If you compare with Q4 FY21, in Q4 FY21 it was 67.4%, and in Q4 FY20 it was 64.7%. Yeah, Vedant, you would like to add something?
Yeah, so I mean there's been a 1% drop when we look at a quarter level. So again, a lot of those parameters have to do with the sort of category shift that we saw in the last quarter. So in the later parts of the quarter, we saw sales for different categories such as kurtas, which was slightly lower during the previous year-on-year quarter. So those are the main parameters. However, as a company, we feel all the underlying fundamentals have been very strong. And like we've been saying, it's the 66 to 67% sort of gross margin scale that we aim to achieve even moving forward.
Yeah, but in your previous comment, you said that, you have not taken any price hike and your focus has been selling on more higher value products. So ideally, that should have, given you a better gross margin. But at least in the gross margin, when we see the reported numbers, there's a dip. So that strategy apparently, it looks like it has not really worked in this particular quarter.
Sir, all the sort of numbers that we work on internally, have been performing well. It's more to do with the shift in category of the products. In the high value wedding related products, for which the sale was a lot higher in quarter 4 FY21, which was more of a wedding related shopping, we saw trends of more wedding related high ticket item purchases compared to quarter 4 FY22, when we saw the slight bit of wedding attendees and festive buyers returning back to our stores to an extent. So it's a very marginal difference that we find in those different categories.
Okay. The second question was on your, the franchisee model, which you said, one is 18%, the other one is 29.5%. So out of how much of the franchises are basically where you have the lease, you have brought the property on your book and leased out to the franchisee?
Yes. So like we've been mentioning, about 60% of our revenue comes from stores where we bear the lease cost. And almost similar, 60% of the square feet area also, which we pay the lease for, is what it is.
But sir, when we compare the numbers between the consumer sales and the reported sales, the difference is almost 30%, so which indicates that almost all the properties are actually leased by the franchisee partners, even on the reported basis, obviously.
So there was a similar question we were discussing, like, the average margin which you can consider is around 65-67%. However, the difference you're seeing is 70%. It is because of the new store openings, right, which is appearing as a part of my my primary revenue, the revenue which I report in my PL, which is not appearing in my secondary revenue. So that's a gap of 3% which you're talking about.
Okay, maybe I have to take this question off then. Okay, thanks. That's all for me.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ali Asghar Shakir from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I have a quick question on, the current market conditions. I think you did mention that for the full quarter, your like-to-like growth was about 1% despite the impact of Omicron. If you could just share, the current situation on the ground, probably how was March, which was fully, a stable month, and also in the current month or probably in April, how are you delivering? And quick follow-up question there is, market feedback is that, some of the regions or categories are doing better than the others. So, what is our observation? Are we seeing, are the category that we operate are doing better than some of the others? Are we getting any specific, benefit out there? Thank you so much.
Sure, sir. So, of course, March was a very good month for us, as January was quite heavily disrupted in terms of COVID. Not as bad as what we've seen in earlier waves, but still January was still quite affected. And a lot of those numbers were made back in March. So it was definitely a very promising month for us. In terms of the kind of traction we are now seeing on ground, it's very optimistic and very promising, and is making us more confident as a business. When we see a lot of trends coming in back in terms of wedding attendees and festive and casual buyers returning back to our stores. And again, this is also affected in terms of our kurta sales increasing as a category compared to what we were seeing in the last 2 years, which were quite heavily disrupted because of COVID. So all the underlying fundamentals are pointing us to a very confident new financial year.
So could you share on like-to-like basis, how did we perform in March or probably in April? And also the, second question that I asked regarding, specific categories or regions that are doing better than that.
Sir, again, any April number, we would be happy to talk about in our next earnings call 3 months
sure.
later. In terms of March, I think it would be good to see it at a quarter level, because with January being disrupted, a lot of that demand would have moved into March. So it is to our benefit to look at it in terms of a quarter itself. March could be a little misleading.
We got it.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much for all of you for joining us for this quarter 4 FY22 and the financial year 22 investors presentation call. And thank you so much for all your support during and throughout the IPO process and being invested in the company. Thank you and looking forward to more of such calls in the future.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.